What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, managing editor, FightfulWrestling.com, FightfulSelect.com. This is our Q&A show. For those of you new, you can answer, or you can ask, rather, as many questions as you want, as long as you're a subscriber. I do these shows at least twice a month. We also have one from Jimmy Van from earlier this month, but let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Lonnie says, what have you heard backstage about why they put the strap on Brock Lesnar? Also, is it possible he drops at SummerSlam? They think he's a draw. That's pretty much it, plain and simple. Any word about changes coming now that Bischoff is taking over SmackDown on Tuesday? Now, I am filming this on Tuesday ahead of SmackDown. He's not fully integrated yet, so let's not jump the gun. Every single week, everybody says, oh, okay, Eric Bischoff taking over. Not necessarily yet. KO is really getting over. Is he next in line for the WWE title? I don't know about next in line, but I know that they have the hope that he will be a main event talent. What's up with Bray Wyatt? I assume this is before his debut last night. You know what's up with Bray Wyatt. He's back. Interesting to note, though, on all the internal sheets that they had, he was listed as a SmackDown wrestler. So that's worth noting ahead of or following his Raw appearance. Aiden O'Connell says, any experience with Matt Holmes? Is it possible to work with him? In what culture does he know wrestling? I've been told he's a prick of the highest degree. Hugely successful company, but now there are multiple pages of burying this guy. How is he successful? He has a successful format and gets people to work for him. He is a giant prick, and it taught me exactly how to not treat people in a management role. You don't talk to them like they're worthless. You don't, like, even no matter how frustrated you might be with somebody, you let them know that they are valuable. You let them know that they have value. You do everything opposite the way that Matt Holmes did for people that I experienced with at What Culture. He told me I would never make a living covering wrestling news as he was letting me go. So, yeah, he is a jackass. Ben says, this may require a slightly long answer, but if Vince decided to retire tomorrow on the condition you were in charge of building next year's WrestleMania and the event itself, what matches would you put on the card, including who the defending champions are and stipulations? For the WWE title, I would go a New Day triple threat, honestly. I think that that could be a very, very, very hot program. I would go Undisputed Era versus The Club with Finn Balor. I would definitely throw those in there. If you could get Sasha Banks back, I would find a way to orchestrate a horsewomen four-way match. I would have Roman Reigns as the heel going up against Seth Rollins for a title. I would have Braun Strowman going over Brock Lesnar in some capacity. Maybe by that time, depending on how over Kevin Owens is, maybe Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns with Roman Reigns as the heel. I would do Daniel Bryan probably winning some big match. I would honestly maybe even have him, if he's still a heel, go through the Battle Royal and win it and try to add more importance to it, kind of like he's doing with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. This is off the top of my head. So, yeah, that's at least what I would do. I would try to add some importance to that Battle Royal for the future. I would put Brock Lesnar in the position to put somebody over clean again. But maybe you don't want to. It's tough to say. The Revival against a top-level tag team, for sure. Straight-up tag team. Maybe AOP, whether you beat them or not. I would have them prepared. Or the Viking Raiders. It's tough to say this far out based on who will be over. After her absence at Fight for the Fallen, have you heard anything about Alicia Tout's AEW status? No, but I will reach out. Jeff implied that she wasn't there. Her Twitter doesn't mention AEW, like, currently. I had to actually adjust my article that's coming out this week because I'm not sure yet, but I will try to find out. After stating they're a WWE alternative and they're aware of the things that turned away WWE fans, do you question AEW's awareness when they have the same dumb babyface problem and the inclusion of authority figure Brandy and using Kong to tip the balance? Not to mention the potential of Awesome Kong and Aja Kong being worthy of Bill Goldberg versus Undertaker. Yes, I have concerns about all those, and them doubling down on some really bad gimmicks and bad stories. A lot of those are a waste of time. I know that they can poke fun at it on being the Elite, but they're still a waste of time. So yes, I do have concerns with all that stuff. I do question their awareness when some of their people say, oh yeah, four and a half hours, who cares? Well, we care. Shorter shows that have substance mean a little bit more, in my opinion. It's okay to have four-minute matches if they mean something. What have you heard about how happy both AEW and WWE are after Fight for the Fallen went head-to-head with Evolve? Who do you think probably came off better? Well, I would imagine Fight for the Fallen was seen by more people. I know that Evolve was touted highly by a lot of people. As far as all things considered, I thought Evolve had the better wrestling bell-to-bell, and it was a shorter show, but as far as things that matter, Fight for the Fallen did it for me. Haven't talked to anybody about that necessarily. How long do you predict Jim Ross will last on commentary? Have you heard of any internal concern about his performance? If not, do you think anyone in AEW is slightly concerned about his performances so far anyway? I think that he will at the very least last from All Out to the next All Out. Other wrestling websites seem to be using Fightful, and specifically you, more and more as an original source for breaking news stories, and will often state that you're one of the most reliable sources there is. As a result of this, how big of an impact do these links from other sites make in terms of Fightful site traffic? Us getting cited by other outlets and linked, specifically linked, like they can cite us all they want, but if they don't link, it doesn't really matter to us. As long as they link back, it does help us out a lot, considering that we're a brand new site and we're less than, or we're just now 3 years old. It is very, very, very important to have our content linked to, whether it's transcripts, exclusives, heard-throughs, interviews, any of that stuff. A link from those sites are very important, and there was a while where a lot of the longer tenured sites would not do that for us, and still there are some that I don't know if they do it maliciously or they do it just not out of knowing that they should be doing it. It still happens here and there. Graham says, Vince Russo said on a podcast he'd contacted Shane regarding helping out with WWE creative, and Shane was keen for this, but Vince ultimately said no. You think Vince's style of storyline over in-ring action creative would fit the current product? What positive negatives do you think there would be if this would have happened? I've heard that Shane isn't necessarily the top guy when it comes to creative ideas. So, I know that Shane has always thought pretty highly of Vince Russo. I'm pretty sure that they've always been on pretty good terms, all things considered. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Vince is a very nice, charming guy when you talk to him, contrary to what a lot of people believe. So I'm not surprised that Vince Russo was able to reach out. And I'm honestly not surprised that Vince McMahon said no. He's got plenty of people, plenty of ingredients in the cupboard, so to speak. So I don't know. As far as Vince Russo, it depends, man. There are times I think he has great ideas, and there's other times where I don't know what his ideas would add to a show modern day. And that's just because I haven't seen any of them implemented. For all I know, Vince Russo could be the most creative guy possible. And for all I know, maybe it's not there. It's hard to see. It's hard for me to say without seeing what he could contribute with the current crop of talent. With Riddle facing Drew Gulak twice in recent months, do you think they'll test the waters with him going to 205 Live at some point in the future? Or will being in NXT long-term be the best way to go before moving to Raw or SmackDown? I think that by this fall, Matt Riddle will be a fixture on a cable program. Take that however you want. Graham says, if you could start a series of podcasts featuring former WWE, WCW, TNA, Impact, ECW, and ROH stars, similar to your old Russo podcast, who do you think guests would be great guests to represent each company? For Impact, for sure, if we're talking about anybody, Abyss would be the best one. Maybe Jeff Jarrett. Maybe. Ring of Honor, I think an underrated one is Rhett Titus. He's been around for a lot of stuff. ECW, Joey Styles, without a doubt. Joey Styles or Paul Heyman. WCW, I think Bischoff is the best bet. He's out there, and he's a good one to go to. Zabisco might not be a bad idea, but the ultimate thing there is you got to find somebody who was tenured during the entire time, or at least during the important years. And I think Conrad's done such a good job with that. He got Schiavone, and I think David Penzer might be a good one to go to in that regard. WWE, The Undertaker is the Holy Grail. Pat Patterson, maybe. A lot of people bitch about accents, so maybe not. Michael Hayes would be ideal. Those would be really, really good ones. Ring of Honor, another good one. Jay Lethal, maybe, in recent years. Maybe. Ellen says, thank you for you and Jimmy Van for taking the time to do these Q&As. No, thank you. After listening to your review of Impact Slammiversary, I watched the show and found it really enjoyable compared to WWE's stop-start pay-per-views. Since Firefly... Okay, this is this is a question about Bray Wyatt and his comeback. It was ahead of the comeback. I wondered why, after the success, they were having things cooled down. They wanted... from what I understand, they wanted people to become familiar with Bray Wyatt again, but kind of make you forget a little bit before you re-debuted. At least that's what I heard from one person. That was their theory. That wasn't them reporting. That was their theory. Somebody said, I'm not sure if this is something you've done before. Or Ellen says, I'm not sure if this is something you've done before. I'd like to get a video tour of your office media room, of the pictures on your wall and various trophies, and an insight of watching a wrestling MMA show and how your notes and cross-reference things as they go on. So people, a lot of times, will ask me. I do my show notes after Raw and SmackDown. I run the live blogs here on Fightful Select. There was a website called DDTDigest.com, and it's still up. And they covered WCW, and they had bullet points. That's what I base mine on. That's what made me fall in love with recaps. And I want it to be a little bit different than the live results that we do. And I also use those to guide my show. I'll specifically mention things in the match that I liked, that I didn't like, that stood out, whether it be a technique or whether it be something that didn't make sense or did make sense. As far as my office, you guys don't want to see this. I might do one before I move, but it is just such... I don't want to say it's a wreck, but I have like a Kraken fight team decal up. That's the fight team I was a part of. I have a couple of wedding posters from myself and my wife. We got married at an opera house that premiered a George Clooney movie, so we wanted to kind of fit that theme. I have some artwork based on my hometown in Maysville. My cousin got me a WrestleMania X7 event poster. I have a wooden cutout of the state of Kentucky and some postcards from my hometown. I have a maple syrup bottle that is shaped like a maple leaf. I have, on the opposite side of the room that you all can't see, a lot of the championships that I won in independent promotions. And as it turns out, two of them I ended up being able to just keep. It was a tag team title and a company's championship title. I have a submission wrestling medal, some of those type of awards that I got, and fantasy football championships, a grappling trophy, which is kind of broken. But yeah, other than that, it's mainly equipment. Like, I've got my screen and stuff. When I straighten it up, I'll do maybe a little tour, but it'll require some maintenance. That's for damn sure. As far as my notes that I leave, I wanted to give a different scale. A lot of people will say, oh, well, you rated this match 6 out of 10, so it's 3 stars. No. I don't know what makes up Dave Meltzer's star ratings or anybody else. That's his subjective criteria. Mine is different. I wouldn't be able to nail Dave's star ratings, man. He knows what he likes. I know what I like. So mine's a little bit different. Graham says, you often talk on the podcast how stipulations are often confusing. Have you ever approached a referee or agent producer about clearing up some of these? I planned on that. I have a series in the works, Graham, that I'm trying to get off the ground. I like the way you do business. Wild Boy says, do you think it's for sure that Hangman Page will be the first AEW champion, or will they put it on Jericho to get more eyes on the product? I don't think it's for sure, but I do think he will be the champion. And I do think that your pitch is completely possible. Kevin says, once Heyman and Bischoff are fully in control, what's one thing other than the wild card rule you would like to see both change and implement on their respective show? Establishing that wins and losses matter. Following the rules. And I mean that. Let's ban closed fist punches again. The reason why closed fist punches are banned is because you see them on boxing and MMA knocking people out all the time. So people do them all the time in wrestling and nobody gets marked up. Well, that either means that you punch like an absolute bitch or it's fake. Aiden said, how can we get Melissa back on the show, please? You're not. It's not what she does now. We've got a producer. Sorry. She'll be back here and there, but she's not going to be back as a producer. We've hired somebody in Brady who does very well at that. Asuka and Kairi haven't wrestled on TV in over 3 months. Your thoughts? It is horseshit. Those are my thoughts. They don't have a damn clue what to do with that tag team division once Sasha Banks hit the bricks. And the irony is, Sasha Banks hit the bricks because they didn't have an idea of what to do with the tag division. Holy crap. I'll kind of group these questions into one because one kind of answers the other one. Someone says, I know you have a shit ton of things going on in the month, but is there any way you can recap a Stardom event every 2 months? I really want to hear your recap on Joshi Wrestling above anyone else's. It would be very, very, very tough. As somebody else asks, what are your wrestling habits? Well, 3 hours of Raw Monday, then the podcast. I have to do 2 hours of SmackDown, then the hour of 205 Live, squeeze in the podcast there. I have at least 2 or 3 hours worth of podcasts to film on Wednesdays. You get the hour of Ring of Honor, at least, there's always at least 3 hours in New Japan I have to catch on, and that's on a slow week. 2 hours of Impact, I got to take in an hour of MLW, and then every single week there are at least 6 hours of UFC, so that's like 25 hours of my work week, like before anything else. It is really hard to squeeze in Joshi Wrestling there and review it in the way that it wants, that would be fair. It would not be fair for me to review that show not having taken it all in, and I'm not going to do it that disservice. But yeah, AEW will add 2 more hours onto that. Have you seen Defiant Wrestling or OTT? Yeah, I've seen stuff from them, but we sometimes will post Defiance episode. Graham says, you often talk about your annoyance with chin locks and some of the mechanics of Rousey's armbar. Would you ever consider filming quick clips to analyze such thing? Graham, you've pitched 2 content ideas that I've had rattling around in my head. That was going to be a feature when we launched Fightful. I was going to have my catch wrestling coach, Jay Grooms, whose name on Twitter is, I think, Crossface Killer. A lot of people think that's a Benoit reference, but it's a Wu-Tang Clan reference. We were going to go through a lot of that stuff and what works and what really didn't work. Jonathan says, Jeff Cobb is signing with New Japan in January 2020, right? I can't pretend to understand the motivations of anybody. I can't. If I were him, I would consider it. Graham says, from all the former MMA guys who've transitioned to wrestling, who do you think would fare the best against Brock in the Octagon in their prime? Ooh, in their prime? Well, if you mean full-time, obviously Frank Mir, because Frank Mir beat him. Cain Velasquez beat him. But if you're talking like full-on wrestling, that's tough. Dan Severn, maybe, because Dan Severn's wrestling pedigree was unbelievable. Any wrestling figures I've started to collect? What do you have? I collect here and there wrestling figures of characters or wrestlers that are based out of Kentucky or Cincinnati. Can you get on Hawkins and Ryder's show or vice versa? I would love to. I was going to do a wrestling figure podcast show, but it wasn't going to be better than Hawkins and Ryder's, so I didn't do it. Jonathan says, Lanza points out what makes ZSJ such a compelling grappler is that he isn't actually working like a real grappler. Yes, I agree. There are a lot of things that could work and couldn't work. There are a lot of his submissions that would be very, very easy to get out of, and there are other submissions that he has that if you were able, if somebody had the agility and the ability to pull it off in MMA, it'd be very tough to get out of. I am in agreement with that. He doesn't work like a standard grappler. Lots of talk about New Japan Dallas attendance. Same card, same marketing, but the location is in another similar size venue in Philly, Chicago, Toronto, California. Does it still do 5K? Seems like they'd gain a couple fans minimum. Yeah, I think it'd still do about 6,000-ish, maybe. Same venue in Dallas, same card, but the main event is announced February, not June. How many more tickets are sold? Yeah, I think that would help a lot, announcing matches ahead of time, or seeing what you sell and then announcing matches incrementally. What's the most painful move you've ever experienced in the ring wrestling? A back body drop? No. Gosh, so there were two that stick out. One was actually just a little like standing knee drop to my elbow. It connected with my elbow, and boy, it busted that shit up. Now, the most physically painful thing that I've ever felt was during an open house match. We would do open house exhibition wrestling matches, pro wrestling matches, in our catch wrestling gym, and it was in a boxing ring. So you don't use the ropes a lot. You work basically blood sport style, but we were doing pro wrestling moves in there, and it was the final cut, gold dust finish, the spinning suplex. Boy, I got planted. Maybe I'll post a video of that. It was this corn-fed son of a bitch. Was like, hey, mind if I squeeze in there? And I was like, yeah, we'll work you. Why not? And he did that thing, and boy, he got all of it. And like a lot of times on gold dusts, you'll bounce. I did not bounce. I got planted, and I stayed right there. And I think probably on the footage, you can see me looking up at my tag team partner, and I was like, you're going to want to break this up because I'm not sure that I can kick out of it. Jonathan says, three events in, and we have to be worried about AEW's women's division. I'm not worried about it yet. I'm worried about it if they rely too heavily on Brandy, the Kongs, and Leva Bates. But otherwise, if you rely on Rio, Bea Priestley, Kylie Rae, Nakajima, Britt Baker, some of the women there, then I will not be worried about it. Allie doesn't need to be featured as heavily either. They are making it Impact Light 2017. An AEW EVP literally smashed a throne to make a statement about WWE. Isn't it sort of sad and ironic that the worst aspects of WWE are total WWE tropes and leftovers? Jim Ross, Alex Marvez, an unnecessary guy in the booth. Yeah, I get it. I hear you. There are a lot of these things that don't need to be happening, and I hope they recognize it, because what the Bucks had said before is that they weren't just going to abandon stuff like that. And at some point you need to, but I get the feeling they won't when they've signed Jim Ross to the largest contract ever. And you don't need Brandy as a heel authority figure. You don't need that stuff. You don't need it. You don't need your baby faces to be dumbasses. Don't do it. I know Pac was in their original plans, but is the Hangman push dangerously close to failure? Yeah, I think it is dangerously close to failure, and I hate that, because anybody who watched his match with Jeff Cobb knows that he is a main event level performer. But you have to have it in the right spot. It's very clear to me that they're like, okay, we can't put the title on Kenny, Cody, or the Bucks, because they are the EVPs, and you don't want that perception. But man, Paige is their buddy. I don't know if that... I like him as a future champion. But I don't know if this is working. I don't know. We'll see. Who would your dream commentary team be that you could create from those currently in the roles? Contracts and companies don't matter. Just who you think would work together the most effectively. Kevin Kelly, Corey Graves, Sarah Shockey. Kevin Kelly, New Japan, best play-by-play guy in the world. Corey Graves is incredibly quick-witted. Sarah Shockey, I fell in love with this woman's commentary during WrestleMania, and I will scream it from the goddamn rooftops until somebody picks her up. Other people I like, Todd Kenley. I think he does some stuff with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I like Tyler Valls a lot. I pointed that out. Michael Cole, unproduced, is very, very good. I don't know how Renee Young would be unproduced. I've never heard it. On Impact, yeah, not my jam. Not my jam. Will The Rock be at the Raw reunion next Monday? I wouldn't count on it. With Jericho and Moxley both heavily involved in the main event scene, but being heavily reliant on brawling and plunder, is the title picture going to be a bit too gimmicky? Should we worry about this? What I would worry about is if they turned it into a Ring of Honor-esque thing where you do the golf commentary and you try to get over how important the moment is by calling the headlock into the hammerlock, into the go-behind, into the drop-down, into the face-off. Like, wow. And then people... That's what I worry about. AEW needs to be different. They need to have a sense of urgency. Aiden says, I'm disappointed what I've seen in AEW. I agree with a lot of Jonathan's points. Pay-per-view is bad. The pre-show was dire. They'd have to retire the librarian. Britt Baker is a disappointment. Sunny Kiss is a concern. Sunny Kiss is not a concern. Britt Baker is not a disappointment. She had a concussion. Librarian, yeah, I don't like it. I don't think the pay-per-view is bad. I don't like the Dark Order. I don't think the Japanese ladies are very poor. The show did go too long. JR did have his time. Those are my feelings on those. What is your favorite location of where someone is billed from? Mine was Sid in WCW. I believe he's billed as being from anywhere he damn well pleases. Mudlick, Kentucky, because there are two Mudlick, Kentuckys, one of which happens to be 15 minutes from my house, and that is not where Hillbilly Jim is from. If you had to have at least a minimum semifinals with couples of WWE like Mixed Match Challenge, who would you put in and win? Obviously, I'd have Becky and Seth, Charlotte and Andrade, Zelina and Black. Maybe the fourth could be Bianca and Montez, or Mia and Keith Lee if you include NXT. I would have it be Becky Lynch and Seth against Bianca and Montez, and I would have Bianca and Montez defeat a very cocky Charlotte and Andrade to kind of upset and beat them and be the Cinderella story that goes there, and I would kind of have Becky and Seth work a heel role there. Who would you put in the list for top five talkers of the business today? MJF, Juice Robinson, right off the top of my head. Damn. Put me on the spot there. But definitely those two. I think Cody Rhodes is a fantastic talker. I would put him in the top five. How about the club? Naturally, them together, not scripted, I like the club. Then probably Becky Lynch, and I'm going to forget somebody, and everybody's going to think I'm a big jackass for it. Whatever. How much credibility do you give the websites that review wrestling that are mainly reviewing non-wrestling sports? I mean, places like ESPN and CBS Sports. Their opinion means about as much as everybody else's does. It's their opinion if they're reviewing it. As far as covering it, a lot of them are co-opted, but that's what they got to do for their role, and that's fine. As far as reviewing wrestling, yeah, sure, why not? Everybody's important. Everybody's opinion is important. Have you watched any of the wrestlers on Vice? Not yet. I'm going to, and I will eventually review it. Why does it seem like WWE commentators do not call names the most finishing moves? They do. It just seems like they don't. SRS, do you know a website that is best for learning the names of moves or wanting to learn the names of moves? Pro Wrestling Wikia works pretty well. I use that whenever I don't know the name of somebody's signature move. I go there because Wikipedia has removed it. but Pro Wrestling Wikia has it. Is WWE already dropping the ball with Bray Wyatt? I feel like the buildup has been too long. This is right before he debuted. Vincent says, how do you feel about Heyman saying he has all the stroke in WWE on WWE TV? I feel like it's going to turn into another on-screen authority figure. I hope not. I hope if it does, it's very light. How is one supposed to take the GTS to make it look good without getting their face caved in? You lean down, you kind of land on your feet, and then you pop backwards, and you hope that whoever's throwing it catches you not in the nose. Bo James Boneham says, the last 2 years we've had really fun Brock matches at Survivor Series. Do you think Brock's little interaction with Ricochet was to plant the seed for him to be in that spot this year at Survivor Series? Yes, personally I do. That is not me reporting. But yes. SRS, jobbers, do you think Raw and SmackDown could benefit from 3 or 4 jobber matches per show? 3 or 4? No. But they had like 4 or 5 over the past couple nights. James Ellsworth, I understand all the allegations have faded. I always say mud sticks. Any chance back to WWE after some time on the indies? No, I was told that when he was there at SmackDown, Vince was like, what the hell's he doing here? I thought we got rid of him. They filmed something for digital and got him out of there. That's what I heard, at least. Also, notice they aren't mentioning Corbin doing his finisher to Becky. Was that planned? And if so, why aren't they showing or mentioning it? They did show it. They did mention it. Is there any reason Shayna hasn't been brought up to the main roster yet? Surely she would have been better SummerSlam opponent for Becky than Natalya. Yes, she would have been, at least from a buzz perspective. The Horsewomen are very important to her, and they want to make sure that Jessamine and Marina adapt, and there you go. SRS, burnout among podcasters. Justin Labar is taking time off after being a long-term podcaster. Lawler hasn't put out a show in 2 months. I've seen this before about a number of times. Is there an issue? In many ways, you are Fightful. You're pulling 14-hour days, right? I know you said you'd be happy to do Fightful forever. I think all your fans would, too. Let's say you started to feel long-term burnout. Would you take a break from Fightful? No, I would not take a break from Fightful. This is my livelihood. I don't know what else I would be as good at as pro wrestling coverage. There are some people that are cut out for it, and there are some people that aren't. And sometimes if you don't see the fruits of your labor, it can get very, very frustrating. Justin is a friend of mine. He is a great dude. I like Justin, and I believe in Justin. Jerry hasn't put a show out for different reasons that you all will figure out soon enough. I feel like I'm overexposed, personally. I wonder why the hell so many people want to hear me talk for as often as they do and as much as they do. I don't get it, but the demand is still there, and I'll keep giving it to you guys. I know that this is my calling. My wife is supportive of it, and she knows that this is what pays the bills, and this is what supports our family, and it's what I love. And the most important thing is I feel a sense of purpose. Like, people that like the stuff that I do, that makes me feel like I've got a reason to be around. And that's a sense of purpose I didn't have before wrestling coverage. What debut hairstyle bothered you most? Jericho's short hair, Christian's short hair, or Shawn's WrestleMania 19 hair? Ooh, Jericho's short hair, for sure. That was bad. What's your take on my faves, Triple H and Edge, initial hair trimming and eventual short hair? The Edge one, oh boy, it freaked me out. Triple H's look good. Edge's, boy, that one creeped me out, man. He rocked it, though. Haskins says, am I an asshole for wanting Triple H's future regime to keep pre-NXT guys, not named Daniel Bryan, New Day, the Usos, in their current roles, not being on television? All their guys are on television. I don't know what you mean. Charles says, I watched AEW's last two events, and in my opinion, they shouldn't do what I wanted them to do. Give me a reason I should watch their weekly shows before NXT's in case the two are going head-to-head on Wednesdays. Do you understand my logic? Would you put any of those pay-per-views head any 2019 takeovers? I would put Double or Nothing maybe ahead of some of the takeovers, not either the last two. There will be some competition this fall with AEW. If you had to pick which two female stars do you see appearing on TakeOver Toronto and NXT's Cardiff, My choices are Shotzi McKenzie, Jamie Hayter, Eva Lise, Shotzi Blackheart. Based on Eva Lise's tweets, I don't think it would be her. Shotzi Blackheart is one. I don't know about two, but I think Shotzi Blackheart for sure. Is AJ's accomplishment of being the ROH New Japan Impact and WWE champion anywhere close to Hogan's stranglehold in the main event scene in WCW, WWE, and TNA in three different decades? Well, it wasn't TNA for Hogan, but WCW and WWE, sure. Well, Hogan was around for what? Roughly 83 to 2002, at least in WWE and all that stuff. But man, he had that run in AWA before, too. AJ still got some work, man. Hogan revolutionized a lot of things, so I don't think it's anywhere close. If you're talking in the ring, yeah, I do. But as far as like accolades and all the stuff that he's done, you got to go with Hogan there, as much of a piece of shit as he is. Thank you guys so much for all the questions. I appreciate you guys. Submit as many as you want, guys. Remember that. We're out.